Design Review Board meeting of Tuesday, January 12th, 2016 to order. May I have a roll call, please?
Member Branch?
Here.
Member Carroll is absent. Member Hyman?
Here.
Member Shaler?
Present.
Member Swainy?
Here.
Member Whalen?
Here.
Vice Chair Smith?
Here.
Chair Schneider?
Here.
Thank you.
Meeting minutes for December 8th. Do I have a motion?
I'll move.
Second.
Approval.
Any discussion? All those in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? So carried. Nice job. Next is Planning Director report.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. Happy New Year, first off.
New Year.
First meeting of the year. Two items to report. One, we have three members on your board that are up for renewal, or your term expires, so hopefully you're all applying. All three members have applied for consideration again to serve, and that is Member Sheeler, Member Smith, and Member Carroll. So there's a projected first meeting in February. I have it written down. February 2nd council meeting that will the appointments will be made. That's a projected. So I'm sure the members that applied reapplied will hear from the city clerk's office. And also, as you all know, and you have received the zoning code update, and we will be bringing to you at your next meeting a section or two. We have four sections that are pertain to DRB, and that's the lighting, landscaping, signage, and also DRB review process. And whether it sort of will depend on how long we take for each section. So we'll take a look. Planning Director and myself will be bringing something to you at your next meeting. We'll give it to, you'll know on your agenda, and we'll also have a staff memo for that item so that you can take a look and provide us comments. Okay? Thank you.
And review of agenda.
Yes, so today we have one item that's been requested by the applicant for continuance. That's G1, the Harvest Hill Ranch, Lot 5, single family dwelling. So the request is to continue to your February meeting, February 9th.
I'll move to continue that item.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Okay. Next is the time for public comment. Is there anybody in the audience who would like to speak today about an item that is not on today's agenda? Seeing none, we'll move on to revised design review. Item F1. Madam Secretary, can you read that into the...
Item F1 is the Santa Barbara Business Park Landscape Removal and Replacement, located at 320 through 340 Stork Road, case number 15-161 DRB.
And I'm going to ask for declarations, but I am going to step down as I believe the property owner is a client of mine.
I've been by the site, no ex parte communications.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Same.
And same with me?
Same.
And the same with me.
Okay. Please proceed, Joe.
It's really simple. Today we have a request for revised design review for an existing business park, which contains four properties,
you should read this.
Which each contain one or two single-story office industrial buildings. Currently, the applicant is proposing to revise the landscaping on site, and it would be removing approximately 16,000 square feet of lawn and spray irrigation and replacing it with water-rised landscaping. So I'll hand it over to the applicant to walk you through the changes.
Okay. And as I think you all will CC'd our number, the board members, there's not really a city process for this type of landscape, so we approached Mary Chang
And we received an online review and email comments, so I'll go through how we addressed those comments. And there was one item that the landscape professionals felt we should bring the project to the full board for, and those are the pine trees. So, I will go through,
and I'm Kim True with True Nature Landscape Architecture. So I'll go through and walk you through the plans and how we addressed the comments that Member Carroll suggested, and then I'll talk about the pines and get your thoughts on that. So first of all, we had a type O, and so that's been corrected. So the La Mondra breeze is at 4 feet on center, not 4 inches. We did add some notes regarding irrigation. We will, and I did bring a copy of the in-progress irrigation plan, so we're converting everything to drip. We have smart controllers on site. Everything's weather-based, so automatic ET, rain shut off, the whole nine yards. And so we did add those notes to the plan. There's some question about the lantana and along Stork Road here. And so I did bring some swaths of lantana in through where we previously had some daylily, and I'm trying to stay in scale with what's in the center divider and what's on the other side of the street. So everything's matching in scale. So I've brought a little bit of that lantana in through the back as well onto Belay. Regarding the daylilies that we are proposing are basically the all on site, and we're just relocating them to sort of make, right now the site's very linear, as you notice, and we're just trying to introduce some more gentle curves and make the landscape design a little more interesting and flow. And then regarding the maintenance, right now Kitson does the maintenance for the property, and so they're very well versed on deadheading, kangaroo paws, and the annual cutting back for the Santa Barbara daisy, the Santa Barbara Mexican sage. So that, I think, you know, the Topes Group does a very good job of managing their properties, so I think that's not a concern. And then we did switch to Aeonium Carol, which is a more an aeonium that stays on the ground more. So I was able to find that at San Marcos. So then we on to the pine trees. And I'll sort of explain the philosophy, give you some history of what's been going on and how I became involved and what we're proposing and why. hopefully, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. First of all, there's been an issue with the pine trees over the years, and according to Sarah Kitson, there's been an untreatable vascular fungal issue, which she called sudden pine death, that has been striking these pines on the property, and they've lost quite a number of them. And where they have lost pines, Sarah's been putting in palm trees. And so that's sort of the situation that we're in right now. There's been a little bit of a triage going on where they've slowly been switching the property over to drip irrigation and kind of replacing things along the way. And so when the water issue came up, the Topes Group asked me to take a look and assess the site. And so that's kind of the main problem we've had with the pines. In addition, there's been a number of management issues. The large amount of pollen that's produced aggravates a lot of the people that work at the complex. And so they've had a lot of complaints about the pine pollen, the sap falling on cars, the needles blocking the gutters on the roofs and the storm drains. They've also had a number of these planters, you know, the old adage, right tree, right place, right plant, right place. So there's a number of small planters where, you know, it's just too big of a tree to be in that small of an area, and they've had lifting issues, ADA issues. Mr. Tobes would like to have the buildings be more visible. And, you know, you can't really see the company signage on the front, find the address with some of the pines. So that's kind of the background about what's happening. There's a large number of pines on the site. There's a large grove of them here and at the end of the cul-de-sac and along the perimeter that we're not proposing to do anything with at this time. But we would like to address some of the, I'll call it the casualties that have occurred with losing some of these pines and the unbalanced design features that we have out there. So this is the front here on Belay Drive, at this entrance here. And this is looking at the center here. I guess we're kind of flipped. This is what you're seeing. There used to be, I think, you know, pine trees on this side. Those have gone by the wayside, and some culvert areas have been planted along here. So, you know, Sierra put in some palm trees here, and what we're proposing to do is go ahead and remove this one pine tree here. It is a 16-inch, I believe, and it's this one here that you can see in this photo. It is stunted because it's in that small planter. It was topped at some point, so we have some water sprouts, and the tree is pretty stressed. So that's one of the trees we want to remove. And the idea behind that is to then create a balanced entry here. We have existing pines. There's, or excuse me, existing palms along this face of the building. And then we have a group of them in the central dining courtyard. So we're just trying to create a nice entry there and a nice balance. And what we're proposing here is that if these pines on this side do decline, we'd like to replace them with the same culvertaria so we could carry that, you know, make some continuity down that streetscape. And then over on this side of the
quick
property.
Quick question, that's if they do. For now, they're being
if
left.
If they do, mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'd like to remove this pine right now. So we sort of have a now, what we'd like to do now, and then the in case these guys go, this is what we'd like to replace them with that we're asking your blessing on. So then as we move around the corner here, we have three trees along this parkway here. And then this is the entry. So they're kind of going like that, as you can see in the entry. And we have the same situation where these pines have declined at the entry. So we have the three large pines here, nothing on this side. So the entry looks rather unbalanced. And we have these three here. And again, one of these has been topped. And you know, that's a concern because there are some rather large water sprouts coming out of those trees. And so this is kind of what you can see inside the canopy. And that was, yeah, that's the face I made. So they are stressed. They are weakened, unfortunately. I mean, we all like mature trees. I'm on board with that. But, you know, we have the health issues and then we have the design issues. And then further on down Belay Drive, this area here, we lost these pines, and there's these three little palm trees in there. And then again, on this side, we've lost pine trees, and there's just the little palm trees in there. So, and then as we work our way back up to this building here, again, we have the situation of the unbalanced. Sure. There we go. Again, we have the situation of the unbalanced palms, you know, palms on one side, pines on the other. So what we were hoping to do is that these trees here are, you know, some of the closest ones to the parking lot. They're causing the maintenance issues. There's structural issues we're concerned with. What we'd like to do is introduce the same canopy trees and create a unified street scene and do that immediately by bringing in the jacarandas and carrying that look down the whole street and then clustering the existing palm trees, relocating them and creating the nice entry features into each of these driveways. That helps open up the site, allows people that are passing through to see into the property, see the business names, figure out what they're going. Reduces the issues we have. And since so many of these trees have already been hit, we're really trying to come in and the main part of the site really come up with a nice, comprehensive, cohesive design. And so that's the reason that we've requested the removal of 10 trees now. And then further down at the bottom of the cul-de-sac, we have, you know, if these go, we'd like to replace them with suggested species. And the same thing, if these ones go, they'd be replaced with Brisbane box. So that's what we're requesting the approval for, is the removal of the trees.
Okay. Quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Have any of the trees that are proposed to be removed been diagnosed by the arborist with the sudden death? You named the virus. I don't remember the name of the virus.
The untreatable vascular fungal issues.
Okay. Well,
I think Sarah has done an analysis on some of them, and I know some of them are kind of teetering on whether or not they should kind of continue. The problem with this type of fungus is it happens very quickly and it kills the tree within a month.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
And then in terms of the existing pines, you'll see, but you're confident that at least they obviously haven't been diagnosed.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay. And we're monitoring it closely.
Yeah.
Given the size of the trees.
Yeah. And you can tell that they're stressed. I mean, they're putting out new cones of needles off of the trunk, and there is some sap bleed. So they are severely stressed at this point. Obviously, with the drought, and I mean, most pine trees in town and in the state of California, frankly, are declining at this point as the climate warms and we've been in the drought.
Another question, Kim, a clarification. Has Kitson been replacing the palms with Cyagris, the same one you're proposing?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
I had one question, or actually two questions. How many jacarandas will be planted along Stork?
We're not doing any tree removals on Stork Road. This is all occurring on Belay Drive, which is around the back. So we're not currently proposing any more. Along Belay Drive, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We have 6 proposed right now to tie in with some of the existing ones that are already there.
Any other questions for the applicant? I'll go for comments. Bill?
Okay, I'll go ahead and get started. I'm glad that you mentioned the periodic trimming and mowing of vegetation is necessary, because I've seen some places where it's actually gotten out into the sidewalk and out into the roadway when it's not maintained in a timely fashion. The alternatives of the palm trees, is there any other alternative that could be considered other than palm trees for replacements for these pine trees?
At this point, we're not going for one-for-one replacement of the pine trees with palms. We're just trying to cluster and relocate what's existing on site to create the entry and then recreate a canopy down the streetscape. So we're kind of shuffling things around. Mm-hmm. So we would... You know, if those palm trees, you know, the palm trees are just clustered at the entries. And so we're really, if the pines would have been replaced with the jacarandas, we're kind of doing that. That makes sense.
Okay. As the pines fall away, the building, more of the building is revealed. I'm just hoping as you drive down along there, it doesn't look too stark that the landscaping that's proposed in the front of the building will be something that will be attractive and, conform with what's across the street.
Yeah, so it's going to tie in because we have a number of these species already on site, and there's, you know, the in front of the buildings there's trees, so it's really, these parking lot areas. So there's already another row of screening behind, if you will.
I should mention that we just finished completely repainting all the buildings, so they all have a new fresh coat of paint, all of them in a slightly different color.
I can support this. I think the concept is good. I think, you know, overall what you're doing is a responsible thing, and you're taking, you're responding to things that have already been done and then creating it, taking it forward so that you then looks like the design was intended. And I think you've demonstrated an adept ability at that. So I could completely support this.
Yeah, I think it's a great design. I think it's going to be a vast improvement. And I do understand, just like Scott said, the logic behind adding more palms because you have palms on site, clustering them around the entrance. I understand about the removal of the large pines. I'm actually in support. I think that though I'm not really thrilled with removing large mature trees, aesthetically it really doesn't make sense. And so, and you have a great plant palette you propose. So we'll wait some time for it to grow to that scale, but I think it's a great plan. I'm going to read Aaron's comments because he's not here, Aaron Carroll. Let's see. He said, the only thing that comes into question for me on this project is removal of the mature existing pine trees on Belay. I cannot support removing these existing pine trees unless they are diseased. If they are indeed diseased, I would request a letter from a certified arborist stating what type of disease these trees have and why they should be removed. So he's obviously not in support of the pines. And I guess this was more of a question, but he said, I don't see a backflow preventer on the irrigation legend. Is there a reason for this? I know you guys are working on the...
They're existing.
And then very good plant palette and design overall. The vast majority of the plants are low water use, so I can support the design as submitted. So that's Aaron's comments.
Aaron?
No comment.
Dennis? I support the plan as proposed.
So I guess we are looking for a motion.
I'll make a motion to support the landscape improvement and revamp plan as proposed.
I'll second that.
Very good. And any discussion?
No.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? And passed. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And I'll wait for Carl to come back out.
I guess for the record, I guess Aaron was opposed for the tree removal, but he did say he'd support the plan. So I don't know how you guys want to make a record of that.
Well, not really good to vote.
One or the other.
If it's not unanimous, at least you have a plurality. So yes is yes.
Well, thank you all.
You're welcome.
It will be a great improvement.
Yes, it will.
Okay, next item is item G2, 7 Baker Lane. Can you read that into the record,
yes,
Madam Secretary?
Item G2 is a new single-family residence at 7 Baker Lane. It's case number 15-140-DRB.
And can I have declarations from everybody?
Site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Same.
And no site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
No site visit and no ex parte.
And I went to the site, but no ex parte conversations. Joe, you want to start in?
All right. So today we have a request for design review for a new house at 7 Baker Lane. At the last hearing, the DRB provided a series of comments on both this property and 3 Baker. So I guess we could just start with 7 Baker. They also provided a landscape plan, which was not included in the packet, which was being passed down. So I just hand it over to the applicant to walk you through the changes that they've made in response to your comments, and I'm here if you have any questions.
Go. Maybe. Yeah, one or the other of them. And punch the button, make sure the green light lights up. Hit the... Is it?
This is 7, so this is not the one on the corner. We also have 3 which is on the corner. We have... Oh, a brighter green. Sorry. So we have changed the exterior aesthetics between the two. Instead of being more associated with 1, we changed the roof slopes on 3. I don't know if you want to look at it both at the same time or not. We left the gables on 7. Inward. I also brought a street view of the two elevations of the houses together, which might assist in that. Kyrial. And then the fencing as well, and changing different styles. So this is 7. And again, it was more of an early style of
craftsman in which there's no... Sorry. More plain, more down to... Again, it's showing a pure and post, non-structural, more aesthetic than anything. And then we use the gable vents to accent as well, old style. Widen the front entry, as you requested. And indicated the fencing, which we hadn't done previously. And I've tried to give you a slope line as to what the actual street line, because these things sit down as it goes down through.
Questions from the board? Or do you?
You must have asked
it. Yeah. We do.
Since I brought it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jim. For the record, my name is Bethany Clough. I'm a landscape architect. I was not, had not been retained prior to the last meeting, so this is what we've come up with, what we're trying to do. As Jim mentioned, per your notes, we're trying to make the two properties a little more distinct individually. So the landscape, when we get to three, I think you'll see that as well. This one has more of a succulent palette that's in keeping with the request for a landscape that's fairly easy to maintain and is definitely low water using. So this fits the bill. I added some circulation elements so that you can, so as a pedestrian, you can actually get around the buildings. And it's actually pretty straightforward. There's a color scheme, and I incorporated in the front yard there, since they wanted to do some gray water. That's the incorporation there in the front. But that's pretty much it. This one's pretty straightforward. And there's a couple of street trees. One's very small between the walkway and the drive, and the other one is a larger standard Fremontodendron. So it's still a small tree.
Are those existing?
No. No, those are okay. Proposed. This is all proposed.
It's a barren lot, and then it has an odd way... It has an odd deal with a wall on each property as a retaining, and then there's more of your property on the uphill side of that retaining wall on each one of the lots. So Bethany is trying to let some of the stuff grow over that wall and so forth to make it disappear as well.
What Jim is talking about is what occurs right here, right along here. This is a existing wall.
And then we also took the liberty, when you get to three, of going down into the right-of-way from the street access to our property, that we'll have the stuff grow down until somebody wants to tame it or add to it, or the city wants to take it over.
Questions from the board?
I did have
Bill?
One question. The height of the wall that will be along Kyriel and also off to the west side, just for the screening of headlights as cars come down.
Right. Most of them are all 6 foot.
And that you think that'll be adequate for the living spaces that are
there around the back? Lower elevation is going to be the real key. You're probably a good 12 feet street level below the property line. And we just thought we'd soften that hole because it's a turn-in possibly off of the Calle Real. So we thought we'd let the planning grow to whatever the you guys will let us. And then when the city comes in and does whatever they want to do at some other time, because it's a no-man's land between the sidewalk and the property line. And it falls off substantially.
There is slope there. I noticed that area was just recently flooded and was in the news, and wondering if, now that it's not going to be a barren lot, how much of the water you'll be able to kind of retain on site during those storm events.
Well, we will have a fence, and it depends on what we always try to do on the new stormwater management is to go ahead and put a trough between the property line and the fence so that if it does build up, we can't stop it completely, but we'll gain it and push it off to the rear, which is the open fields and so forth along the back side of the property.
Okay, thank you.
I had a question. On number 7, on the gable end vents, can you describe what those look like?
I should have brought the picture. Yeah. Basically, it looks like a window frame situation, and then it's going to be a louvered condition.
All right.
And all you see is the same kind of trim that goes right up inside, and the screen is behind it.
All right, so it's a louvered vent then?
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
We're trying to do, as you saw with the color card, is to have a natural wood, mm-hmm. stained wood aspect.
Yeah.
And that area, as well as just a little, the corbels and so forth, is just going to add that to the fascias, the doors, the window trims, and so forth. There's going to be a natural gray concrete type look on the stucco with the stained wood accents.
Any questions out here? Just one.
One question. Do you have the actual? Did you bring the actual colors? The printouts we have. Oh, yeah. There you go.
And one's on one.
Excellent. Okay. Cool. Do you have the one for 3 as well? That'd be good. Nice to see them side by side.
Both of the houses will have a plaster or stucco accents on them. One of them is going to be more of the gray of natural, and the other one is going to be painted to match the wood conditions of the wainscot. I don't mean matching color, but matching in hue.
Dennis?
Yes. On both of the floor plans, one of my comments previously was on bedroom number 1 has a closet that's bumped out towards the street that I thought was rather ill-proportioned now on. There are different treatments now, and I was wondering if you could tell me what those treatments are. Excuse me if I get them confused, but there's a hexagon, which might be a vent on one. And then on the other, which is, 3, there appears to be some sort of portal window. Talk about that.
Yes. We have other approaches and other input in regards to the board here. Is that that's going to be a bedroom, potentially a child's bedroom. We didn't really want any windows or accessibility that people from the street can either view and or physically enter. So the idea was, on the one with the portal, that will be a raised window above in the room that you can have light and you can see activity. The other one is more of a decorative situation because, again, if we're pushed to it, we can make it go in over the closet as well, over the closet. So the closet will be half the and put a clear story or mm-hmm. a type window above, make it a window if we need to. We're just trying not to because of the security of the system.
Thank you.
Aaron? Yeah, my comment on the is on the roof shingles for 7. Seems so particularly dark that any future installation of solar cells is going to be, any light that does get through the cells, it seems like it's going to increase the temperature, which they're so sensitive to as it is, for maximum electric production. So that's the thought that comes to my mind. It's kind of sad to see something that doesn't have photovoltaics in the first place, but to have that kind of impinges upon any future improvement is something I'd like to see changed.
These are spec houses, so not everybody wants solar, not everybody's behind it, but we understand what you're saying. We have a lot of tones in the certainty grays and so forth, so they obviously can be modified as far as the color goes. No problem. And if you have a dictation that it has to have solar response, then that we didn't get, the notice.
One question I had. I understand the rationale with the lack of window on the front there on that bedroom because of security, but how does that relate to the two other windows in that bedroom? I mean, if someone was going to go through the front, they could easily go through the sides and probably with less notice.
Well, we have fencing.
Pardon me?
We have fencing on the side, which eliminates the access to those side windows. Mm.
Both. He's talking about both.
You requested us to possibly fence the whole property, which we have so done in these plans. And with that, that creates a little bit more privacy, pulled back away from the street, which as much as we can without opening up accessibility to a pedestrian.
Comments from the board? Since nobody else is talking, I'll jump right in. My problem is that the entire rest of the neighborhood has concrete tile on it rather than asphalt. There's only one house in there that has asphalt. The rest of them all have either some version of flat concrete tile or... That's the one up by the end. That's on. I don't even know what street that's on. But so just, I mean, there, and I will acknowledge that there are at least the one.
Three or four.
You know, there's this one I saw when I drove it, and this one, which are on two different streets. Anyway, as you walk, as you drive through it, you get the feeling that there, the roofs are more substantial than asphalt. And then, so I'm thinking we need to do that. Other than that, relative to the, at least on seven, oh, three, I guess. We're not on three, we're on seven at the moment. Any other?
I have some comments. I guess I would see. I guess I gotta have them both open. That form in front, the closet, you say you don't want a window there for security purposes, and I guess that's true, although there's a window directly on the left to the main front courtyard, so I don't know if you're gonna keep that window or not, but it's really odd. And I think, I don't know, I think that could have been solved differently, whether, I don't know, I have a problem with that form. It appears that you have different, at least on seven, it appears you have different trims, an inconsistency in the trims. For example, this window has none. Looks like you've got maybe on the side and a sill trim here, it's trim all the way around. Doors have none, and there seems to be an inconsistency in that. I'm curious why it looks like on the floor plan, you've centered the door in the garage, yet it appears off-center here, and I don't know if that's a Just a choice either way.
Architect's choice.
It seemed, I guess this also falls under a question. It appears you've got a 9-foot plate everywhere. And so back here, is that a 7-foot head height, something like that? And then here the head height bumps way up, yet this is an office/bedroom, and it seems like if you were to have a higher head height, it would want to be in the areas where the main living area is. It appears there is an inconsistency with how the head heights jump up and down. And I'm assuming that the plinths, the bases of these are stucco, is that right?
Yes.
And then wood up to those? I guess that's it for now. Those are my comments for now.
Dennis, you want to jump in?
Sure, thank you. I appreciate the changes that were made to the garage doors that better reflect the roof line. I want to congratulate you on that. I agree with the comment about the garage door not being centered and the closet having an odd presence on the street. In fact, it actually has the biggest amount of attention versus the front door. I appreciate how you've changed the roof line on number 3 versus number 7, where the chimney seems oddly, on number 7, the chimney seems oddly off-center of the major ridge beam. You resolved that by changing the roof on 3, and I think that's a very good solution, although I realize that you're trying to differentiate the two properties and are admirably doing so.
I don't really have any comments beyond what Dennis said. I will say I appreciate your work in differentiating the two of these and keeping one with the gable roof and then giving the hip to the other and all that sort of stuff, and listening to some of her comments. I do appreciate that. I'm just going to be echoing what the other folks have already said on this board, so I'm not going to belabor it. I'll leave that as my comment.
Okay. Bill?
Thank you, Chair. I think you have been successful in making these distinct, so thank you for doing that. Appreciate you responding to these comments. So for me, it was really important to hear what the other board members had to say, and the comments that I was left with is in agreement with would be on more substantial roof material, the additional trim for consistency, and restudy the circular window in front.
I think my colleagues have covered the architectural comments. I just wanted to say with the landscape plan, great plant palette. And obviously, it's drip irrigation. You pretty much have the irrigation covered with the details and the notes. The only thing I had trouble with is deciphering the coding of the plants. They didn't seem to, unless you can help me with that, they didn't seem to relate. So I'm looking for Arbutus marina, and I see L, LL, and LM.
You're on 3, I believe.
I'm on 3, and also the same, though, was with... Right, because you don't have Arbutus on 7. But could you help or clarify so that I know what plants actually... Where the plants are actually going?
Okay, let me make sure I'm on 7. Okay. You were asking... Oh, yes. The L's and the V's are for my... That's a typographical error on the legend. That's a class that should have been off. But basically, these are the cotoneaster in the back. The PSR is the pinnacetum, the purple pinnacetum. There's some woodwardia. Here, let me stand up. These are the woodwardias here in front, and there's more pinnacetum as well. That is the single aeonium. There's some agaves out in front with autumn joy and some aloe here. And then this is ceanothus with some rosemary along the wall.
And you are on three?
I'm on seven.
Oh, you're on seven. Could you point out the location then of the... hold on, I was on three. Of the cirrus and the Fremontodendron?
Yes, that's the cirrus, and this is the Fremontodendron.
Okay. Yeah, if my only comment would be just to clarify the legend.
Yes,
yeah.
I will take care of that. Yeah, I'm sorry for that. I apologize. But
good plant palette. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then the other, I know this was made by the architecturally, but the portal windows, both on three and seven, especially for me on, let's see, which is this, on three, look really awkward to me. The hexagonal windows just don't work for me. So I'm not sure how you want to bring light into those rooms, but maybe it's just the shape of those windows. But it's a bit of an odd geometry for something that's, I don't know, that's more of a standard ranch style looking structure.
Well, it wasn't our idea to bring light into that window. It already has windows on the side of that room. It's the scale balance and that everybody looks for. That poke out will eliminate the flatness of that side of the house.
Just something needs to be done with the shape of those windows, and maybe my colleagues would have a better idea, but it's...
We'd almost prefer, as we indicated, we don't want any windows. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't tell you that any more aesthetically than that. And we've adjuncted the wall so that there's a relief and a shadow line and so forth is going to be across that face of that building, rather than having a three-car garage face and then 12 feet away is another flat face.
Dennis?
I had a minor landscape sort of question comment. I wondered if the ceanothus Yankee Point weren't a little underplanted for 1 gallon. So they're shown as rather large trees here. It's not my experience. Which they get one? That big. This is on number three, Greg.
Okay.
Yeah, the sheet. That one down in the lower left corner at the... there are four of them there that are indicated as 1 gallon. So I'm wondering if that isn't a little underplanted.
And what's the... Oh, is that Yankee? I see it.
Yeah.
Yankee Point. You know, they spread. they very much do, yeah.
That's
they get... If you let them go, they can get 8 feet wide.
Okay.
So. I had a question for the landscape, architect. The street tree in the front, the flannel bush, was... I can't pronounce that at the word.
Fremontodendron.
Yeah. What kind of a spread, general shape, what does that look like?
It has a tomentose, meaning it has hairy leaves, mm-hmm. and they're kind of a grayish green with the hairs, mm-hmm. and it has, typically, will have more of a vase kind of a shape, so it's not going to be a standard.
Right.
It was meant to be an accent. Uh-huh. And it'll probably get 14, 15 feet tall, probably 8-9 feet wide.
Right. And obviously the real concern with that is it's incredibly agitating
is.
To the skin.
It
so
is.
That's actually good that you bring it up now. I believe I'm looking at it. Again, I'm confused by where it's located. What's the proximity there to the pathway? I suppose the center of the plant looks like it's significantly off the pathway.
Just
to keep in mind, sure that, yeah.
I was thinking about that. Yeah, I'm not one of the people that...
You don't want to touch that plant.
...reacts horrifically to it, but yes, there is a reaction.
Okay. Chair?
Bill?
On three and seven, there's those retaining walls to the north of each property, respectively. So the landscaping plan... intends to cover those with some sort of climbing vine that will be watered above the retaining wall or below the retaining wall?
Well, there's not a lot of space for a vine. I preferred to approach it from the top of the wall and have something trail over it as opposed to trying to get something to grow at the base. Mm-hmm. Because the house is in fairly close proximity and it's the north side. So it's kind of a toss-up, but I was using some rosemary, and there's some penstemon along there as well.
And you have some path for water to move above the retaining wall to water those things that are growing?
Yes.
Well, and the retaining wall is only, what, 2 feet or 30 inches or something?
4 to 5.
Oh, yeah, there's it's actually... You can get to it easily. Yeah, you can get to it easily.
Okay.
So.
Somebody want to try a motion?
Mr. Chair, if I may, I just want to make sure that we're on the motion and the action will be on 7 Baker Lane.
Yeah.
And that we read the next item into the record and then vote on that as well. Thank you.
Yes, correct. If only we could play some Jeopardy music right now. Well, nobody else, though. I will step up and let's see. This is here for design review. 7 Baker Lane. I'm okay with this one other than, as Scott pointed, I think there's two major items, one being the consistency of trim and head heights as you go around the building. So I think that needs to be resolved, and I'm going to stick to my guns and still say that I believe we should be putting some kind of a concrete tile on both of these houses, but this one in particular. So that would be a move for design review approval with those being those... We want to do that. Do I have to do that, say staff or?
Conformance review.
Conformance review. There we go. That's the word I was looking for. Conformance review for window head heights, trim consistency, and the change to a more substantial roof.
Well, I'll second that just to begin discussion.
Okay. Can I start discussion then?
Absolutely.
On the roofing material. Rather than go back to a flat concrete tile or in the spirit of getting to a substantial roof, would something like a really high dimensioned asphalt shingle? There's a project that I was working on out in Carpinteria that had the flat tiles, and we had replaced it with a real high definition type asphalt shingle, and it seemed to work pretty well. Now, granted, it's not in the same kind of environment as this is, and that's not hard up against other buildings,
right.
But
it doesn't look all that bad.
And just under discussion, I appreciate those comments that have been made, and not sure how those will be ironed out moving forward. But also, if we want to leave it as is or want to have the restudy the circular and the hexagonal windows and the fronts, respectively.
Well, at the moment, we're only dealing with 7, so...
Yeah.
The portal.
Right.
It's with that one window.
It's that one window, and...
I'd like to make a quick comment on the roofing material. My intention is to move my family into 7. I got a 10-year-old, 11-year-old, and a 16-year-old. They invariably throw things on my roof and climb up. And it's On that one particularly, I would prefer to stick with an asphalt shingle for ease of getting that stuff down. I've had to, for other clients, replace tile after tile. It's cumbersome. I do like the idea of the real high dimensional shingle, and that was what our intention on that was.
The 3-3, because it's got all the hips, yeah. might have a much more dynamic approach if the roof material on that particular house was an upgrade or whatever, because you're going to see so much of it when you're coming around both the turns. Those hips, as in the back, it's on the sides and so forth. So that would be something that we could probably do in a, I've been in this business so long that we've come through so many manufacturers that are no longer manufacturing, but I'm sure there's something that can be done in that style of the Craftsman look that would be a low, hard surface as opposed to an asphalt surface. And then once you make the turn, then Michael's house would come into effect as a second house in. They call it an architectural grade, and they have it imperial. All the companies have different ones that are random length, random thicknesses. So it's a moving, the roof does do a moving. And if we were going to go ahead and make it lighter, and expect the shadow lines would come out even more so in that roof.
We have a motion and a second, and we're discussion. If somebody else wants to step up and try a different motion, I'd be willing to take mine back. So to speak.
Well, I'll move. Your motion was for design review, right?
Design review.
Okay. My motion is for design review, echoing your two points about harmonizing the window and door trim around the house, and also looking at bringing the header heights of the windows, bringing those more back into line, and that the roof should be either some sort of a cementitious or clay tile, or a substantial, heavily dimensioned asphalt tile. I don't have a brand name handy, and I doubt I could say one anyways, but something that really points up the depth of the shakes, and in a bit lighter tone than what was submitted.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Further discussion?
I'd like to bring up the portal window once again after listening to your argument or your response to the shadow line being cast. I think that's a very persuasive one. The window seems just completely out of character with the rest of the house, and it could be done away with.
Okay. Anybody else? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. So we have 6-4 and 1 against.
Mr. Chair, there's quite a few items that are outstanding. I think that staff would ask the chair or a designee to be reviewing the final for conformance.
Yes, correct.
Thank
yeah,
you.
That needs to have conformance review.
Right.
Okay. Okay, next item, item G3, 3 Baker Lane.
Item G3. Is a new single-family residence at 3 Baker Lane, case number 15-141, DRB.
Hopefully this one will go a little bit easier since we pretty much halfway discussed it already. So I'm gonna try to speed this up by saying I'm assuming the declarations for the previous one will hold for this, so we'll just repeat those. And questions from the board?
I did have a quick question back to, it's both irrigation plans. Did I see a weather sensor for the controller?
No, there will be one.
Could you specify that as well as with the...
Sure. Well, you
that needs to be specified.
You will get a complete irrigation plan. This was not meant to be
and
a
that,
complete irrigation
we
plan.
We just want to make sure we have a smart controller.
Absolutely.
I had a question for you, Bethany, right?
Yes.
Thank you. On the landscaping plan, again, the street tree on the right-hand side and some of the planting in front of it, where you have the manzanita shown, the John Dorley manzanita, what kind of shape does that? I mean, I've seen manzanita in the wild, but I'm not familiar with this variety.
Both of these, there's two actually, and they will complement that arbutus quite well. Mm-hmm. The green sphere, the GS, the larger one, is actually lower. Mm-hmm. It's going to be 12 inches tall. The John Dorley tends to form a nice semi-spherical, it's a little bit spreading, but not overly so. Very architectural looking, and it's 2.5 feet tall,
okay.
Max.
Thank you.
Wow, I thought this one would go a little easier. I want to jump in on one little item here. I think the last one you dealt well with the situation over the garage. This one's still, I'm still struggling with. The resolution of the hip to the gable, it would almost be better to just get rid of that whole gable and let that be a hip and go from there. So I guess I'd be interested in hearing what the rest of the board would say about that at the garage. And then over here at this little thing, I would opt for taking this element and turning it into a full siding element, because I think that will at least, I don't know if it gives it a rationale, but it would help it somehow, I think.
If you see the fireplace, is that I did it on it. So we've already broached that as well, so we can see the fireplace there right by your scale.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Same thing. That could go up the same way as the fireplace as a material.
And then on this one, based upon our discussion from the last item, I guess I'm willing to do a concrete tile roof on this at some level.
Some sort.
Good.
Are we going to limit ourselves to concrete, or should we just see what we can come up with that's going to give us some texture?
Something heavier than asphalt.
That's
where I would go.
Sure.
Right.
You know, another option with the hip roof that you might want to entertain even would be, because now we have where before the circular window was a little odd, now you've got the hexagonal ones. You know, another option is to, you know, take this up so far and do a little shed roof, and then the back of it is all in plane. And then all of a sudden it's its own separate element, but but whatever. Anyway, I guess my comment is this feels a little leggy, I think, and I'm curious about the possibility of maybe pulling that down so it comes off the roof. It just feels like there's a lot of space up here, and I don't know. It's not the end of the world, but that was the one thing that jumped out. That, and then the same thing with the alignment of the door under the ridge, sort of was centered. I do like the skirt idea. I think that helps it quite well. With these large double hungs, there's a lot of glazing, and then these guys, I don't know, it sort of feels like if they're casements, I sort of wonder why it's a double casement and not just one with the huge amount of glazing you have, but that's sort of neither here nor there. So I guess that's my comments for now.
I'd like to weigh in on this a little bit too. I was listening to Carl with doing a hip across the garage, and I was thinking something a bit different. I don't have a problem with the gable over the garage, but it might also prove a way to lessen the impact of that just blank wall where the pop-out is if that became a hip over that wing there, if that's possible. Yeah, so if that became a hip roof with the rest of the hip roof, I think that would lend a little more distinction to having the gable over the garage. It might make that pop out a bit. I got to agree with Scott on the bay window where the bathroom is. If you could drop that roof down, it just seems like a lot of space up there. Perhaps if it, I don't want to get fully in detail on it, but that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Dennis?
Well, I like Tom's idea of the hip over the bedroom. I think that solves that problem rather neatly. I don't feel as strongly as Carl does about the one over the garage, but I am perplexed on Scott's comment, too. When I try to study the roof plan, it doesn't seem to agree with the elevations at all. For example, I don't see the bay window pop out on the roof plan or how that would be indicated. I'm talking about the red lines on your, these are on the landscape plan that they're indicated on. And then to that end, I don't see how you'd actually do a hip over the garage if I study this drawing carefully. But I do think that with some treatment, as you're suggesting here, with the hexagonal, we'll call it a vent, that seems perfectly amenable to that elevation.
Sheet 4 is a roof plan.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't match at all.
Yes, thank you. Sheet 4 shows the roof plan, and yes, the bay does show up on there. And then, Carl, I don't see how you'd hip that portion over the garage. Well, still, it doesn't agree with the elevation because the ridge line over the garage is centered over the double doors, but it's not reflected on the plan here.
No, that's not right. You're right.
See what I'm...
Yeah, the ridge mount off here.
Okay. Yes.
Yep.
I don't know quite where that leads
us, though, with the inaccuracy, or the drawings not agreeing with one another. I suppose the elevation would predominate over the roof plan.
What isn't... Where are you saying that this is the gable?
Here, can we do it under the camera? Your elevations show... Here's your garage door. If I'm understanding that you've got planter here, so your gable would be centered here on your elevation, and also additionally, you're not seeing this ridge coming in there. That's
you're showing
one hip coming up and going all the way across, and actually coming then hipping back down to there.
There's no hip. That's just a gable going back, which is what that is right there.
Yeah.
This here might not line up with the door, but it that would have to be done. But this is going to be, this dimension here is going to get your gable. So it's coming back in here somewhere to catch this line.
Do you?
It may be, I'll redo, readjust.
Can you see the discrepancy in the elevation and the roof plan?
Sure.
Yeah.
But to that end, I don't think that, I think the elevation predominates here, right? Yeah. Not the
roof. It's not going to be able to happen because of the way that other roof is going to create that double hip there coming into it. You see my ridge line here is only 3 foot there. So that's what the reality is. That's where that hip's going to go unless I raise the plate line.
Well,
So then maybe the elevations need to be restudied and brought back.
Yeah.
Is that a motion?
I will move to continue.
Three Baker Lane.
With the condition that the drawings be made more consistent, and the comment that to study the addition of possible hipping over the bedroom and or making a hip and or increasing the consistency of it over the garage. Studying the roof over the bay window on the south side, and the comment that the roof will be a material other than asphalt.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so our next meeting is February 26th?
January 26th, I'm sorry.
January 26th? You want to come back there? Okay. We'll see you then.
I've got to step out for a moment.
No. Right.
Okay. Check my agenda here. Next item is item G4. Madam Secretary, can you read that into the record, please?
Item G4 is 74 new market rate apartments located at 6505 Sea Star Court and 30 Compass Lane and 6501 Offshore Place. Case number 15150 DRB.
Okay, and it's a long story and I don't want to go into it, but I am going to recuse myself because I have been. So, to you.
So I think Marie wanted to go first. Okay.
Yep, go ahead. Yep, it's all good.
So since we have such a large applicant team, to just as a reminder, please speak into the microphone, share your microphones and speak into it. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. First of all, before Darryl starts, I need declarations.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
And same with me.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Okay.
Great. Thank you, Chair and members of the DRB. So we're here today for design review for 74 new market rate apartments. And this consists of three buildings on Lot 5 of the Village at Los Caneros project. So the board last saw this on October 28, 2014, which was also a design review meeting. And before that, the board saw it on September 23, 2014, which the board granted preliminary approval. The board did have some comments in those two meetings, mostly regarding comments regarding architectural detailing and landscaping detailing, as well as some detailing surrounding the trash enclosures, as well as lighting. So the applicant has come forward today with some more detailing regarding those issues. Secondly, the applicant is proposing some slight modifications to the preliminary approval. And these are mostly geared around building and landscaping. For example, the applicant's proposing to actually move one building 5 feet south. Other modifications include a slight increase in sidewalk width. Also, a walkway has been added behind the carports on the eastern edge of the property. Carport locations have been revised on the site plan. Bike parking has been added to the project. They're showing the communication and electrical room on the plans and elevations now. Mailbox locations have been provided for 100X building as well. The pool cabana floor plans have been looked at more closely. Some exterior decks of the buildings have changed. The proposed charging locations have been added to the plans. There is also a slight increase in building square footage, really minor. It's roughly approximately for the three buildings around 200 square feet. There are also some slight increases to the finished floor of all three buildings, you know, roughly between half a foot and a foot and a half. And the applicant has provided some elevations showing that increase. So we have those elevations here when the DRB is ready to take a look. The pool area and recreational area has been updated with new amenities. We have that plan here as well. A new pergola has been added between the pool and building 100X. And lastly, the applicant has provided some updated colors and materials for the board to look at. I just want to note that we're only looking at Lot 5 today. So. In previous meetings, the DRB looked at the entirety of the project. Today, we're just looking at Lot 5. And as we move forward with other lots in the project, we'll start seeing these projects become just singular lots. Mm-hmm. So with that, I'll pass it on to the applicant team. And maybe I'll, Robert
Schmidt. You know, I'll actually start.
Okay.
Robert Schmidt with Stantec. I'll go through the civil components. I believe we have a list of items that I can go with through the modifications with you guys just for better of understanding. So. So starting with the parking stalls, we originally they are 18-foot stalls, and then they had a 4-foot sidewalk. People Self-Help did a little bit of a change, and so we're actually following their standard. What we've done is we've added 2 feet to the sidewalk, which pretty much works as an overhang instead of having a wheel stop, and then it would be a 16-foot parking stall itself. So we've, around the whole interior side of the site, what next to the sidewalks, that was one of the updates to it. And then so for the building move, we actually did a little bit more of an exhibit to it. It's really 100X moved to the south a little bit. Main reason for that is grade differential. It helped a little bit with it, but also ADA to get into the building there also. And you can kind of see between the blue and the red. Sorry, turn it around the other way. You can kind of see it. So the green is the proposed, and the blue is was the original itself. So it's just barely moved this one over a little bit.
And it all, am I right to assume that these are also the footage?
That's exactly.
That's been added, the little pop-outs for?
Exactly. So it shows you kind of the difference between the two.
Okay. That makes sense.
While we're on that subject, why don't I fill in real quickly. Murray Duncan, Project Architect. All those are thickened walls, and those thickened walls are to give the architectural bumps that we needed to match the approved architectural design. So just so you know, it's not living square footage. It's just thickened walls.
Okay. Okay, great.
Another change is we originally had 2 handicap parking stalls on the north side of the project. We've split them, so we have one on the north side, and then we've actually brought one down to the south just to give a little bit more separation for handicap stalls itself.
carports. We actually have a manufacturer now, so we've just updated the plan to show how the manufacturer works, moving the columns in the right locations and everything so they don't conflict with the path of travel and everything. So, and with that, actually, let's go to 8.8. And we can show you where the charging stations are at this time, too. That's your first one, right?
Yeah.
Make him jump.
There it is.
This one? Yep. So this better shows where the charging stations are. We're putting them on the columns themselves of the carports, so you can somewhat see where those locations are along.
Do you want to take a peek at what the carports look like while we're on the site plan?
Sure.
I can go for it.
A8. Just trying to streamline this a little bit for you guys. So they're all cantilevered. So you can see that those charging stations, there'll be one mounted on each side of the column. You can see right here.
And on the center post-ish, you'll mount the charging station?
Correct. One on each side. There's 17 of them.
Do these canopies have the potential for being retrofitted with solar?
Yes, they do.
And then the one last thing from the civil perspective is finished floor elevations. Kind of just wanted to walk you through those elevations and why they changed. So we had two areas what changed. The bigger one was the 100X, and really the change from this reflected down from the people self-help. There was some ADA that really needed to get worked out here, and what happened is that pulled this location up, and then it rippled down. That also, we tried to keep it as close as we could to the original. That's why we also pushed it back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't want to bury it right here off of this side is really what we wanted to do. And that rippled to this building. And then separate from these two was the south building at the entrance. We just found the grade differential between the road of Calle Corral to the building was just a little bit too much. There's a little bit of a slope down there, and we were worried about grade drainage in that area. So we just picked that up. I believe it's about a foot in that area itself.
So how much did that one?
This one was a foot and a half, I believe this was.
This one lowered a foot and a half?
No, it went up a foot.
Went
and
up a foot and a half,
yeah.
And this one went up?
This one went up 6 inches, and then this one went up a foot.
Got it. Okay.
Here's a graphic to give you an idea of what that'll look like. Excuse me, just flopping it there. The lower graphic shows what was approved. Mm-hmm. The middle graphic is a simulation of the building as approved if it were a foot lower. Mm-hmm. And the building itself didn't get any higher. The pad that it's built on got lifted is mm-hmm. all. So it's really the same thing that's been approved. It just got lifted up 12 inches. And in a building of this size, you're not going to see 12 inches from anywhere. But just so you, again, the graphic identifies what you need to see.
And now I could just jump in real quickly. So in the environmental document, we did an MND. EIR. And we have thresholds in terms of height, and they still actually meet their maximum height. So per the EIR, it's not a significant impact. It's still within that threshold.
Okay.
May I add one other thing to that? Kathy Allen knows the planner went processing the village at Los Caneros when we handled the environmental. So just with this building in particular, it is the Calle Corral Los Caneros intersection is identified in the general plan as a significant viewpoint. So it's 180 degree, and that's what this was illustrating is. The more important views are more towards the north, towards the mountains. This is just capturing just the west edge of that. Yeah. And so this photo sim was included in the EIR demonstrating how much this building may block the view of those mountains. So that's why we wanted input from the DRB just to make sure that we feel like that this is still in substantial compliance with what was originally approved by the City Council and which was certified in the EIR.
If I could, I'd just like to comment on that. It would have been beneficial to me to also have a photo sim, not looking into the project from across Collie Corral, but as most people will be approaching that point of view from going north on Los Canales, because that's where you're going to see that building 100 pushed fairly close to Los Canales and Collie Corral. And every additional foot of height you add to that is, particularly because of its proximity to the view shed right there, is more views of the mountains that are lost. So I just wanted to put that out there. Thank you.
Okay.
That's from Sidwell.
Okay. Architecturally, I'm going to switch it.
Yeah.
Quick switch here. I'm going to take myself out. We pretty much have no architectural changes from the original design approval, other than what's already been discussed, with the exception of one item. And that's a handrail detail that we discussed with our client, who was feeling that going to a standardized, let me get to the A3. A more standardized detail was more appropriate. Whoops.
Keep going, Mark. Going, you have to get past the details and all that.
Where am I? Okay. I'm in the wrong section. Sorry.
No worries.
You're looking for the colored elevation?
Yeah.
Go back to that. Keep going back 100.
There were stucco handrails provided on these two gable ends,
which mm-hmm.
we didn't think added much to it, so with that we opted to go to a metal rail. Other than that, what you see is what was approved. Mm-hmm. Minor design operation here, just to meet the minimum opening requirements for an open stairwell,
yeah.
So that was just code issues. So. Mm-hmm. So again, we've kept the coastal cottage theme intact as approved, and the color board and material board is identical to what was reviewed and approved as well. The electrical and comm rooms mm-hmm. are identical on the ends, very simple, low profile.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they won't be very visible at all from the site, and that, as you know, Los Canales is up above, so
yeah.
you'll be looking
mm-hmm.
down on that. And it's kind of in a mm-hmm. in a hole, if you will.
Let's see.
Mailboxes have been discussed already. Those have been located on building 100X, and they're up by the pool area, and they're going to be, Tim's going to address those when she gets into her landscape presentation. And the pergola as well, that was added to the pool patio itself. So with that, I think that covers the architecture.
Oh, did you want to discuss the pool cabana architecturally, or is that going to be you?
Well, the pool cabana itself, you know.
Didn't you say the floor plan was updated, or?
Right. Yeah, we can get into the pool cabana real quick. Let's get to the floor plan first, I guess. The floor plan is almost the same plan that was. In the original conceptual design. It's a men's, women's, and a maintenance facility with a little central entry area, shower, if you will. So architecturally, the theme is carried on from the coastal cottage look. We just brought that same theme, and we used the same color palette that we have on the other two buildings brought into this one as well. Real simple, quiet, and in keeping with the rest of the architecture.
We use this tower type element just to call attention to it and to give it, it's a small building out in an ocean of area, so we want to give it some mass and a reason for being there, so. Okay.
So I'll be presenting the landscape. I'm Kim True from True Nature Landscape Architecture. And Scott, can I borrow your scale, please? Thanks. Someday I'll get a pointer.
The pointer.
So this is a, an exhibit I prepared that's basically the two planting plans merged together on one site plan for ease of presentation and with some color.
Excellent.
So I will go down my, list of changes here. So there was, you know, the original landscape plan, we've added to it greatly. So a lot of these things are really the amenities to make daily life more pleasant for the people who are going to live here. And the first thing we added is this walkway back in through here. And this is meant to be a dog walk area and to improve circulation around the site to get into the central area. We're providing dog waste stations and some benches. So taking advantage of a little bit of level area that we have back there. And then we provided some nice flowering, attractive landscaping between the cars and this, open walk area. And then the next thing that I'm sure Dennis will appreciate, we've added covered bike parking. So this is an image of the bike parking cover that we're looking at. We'd still be using the same peak racks, the high density racks. We're providing one parking space for every two units on the project, so there should be ample bike parking here. And then just for reference, this is the bike trail area here. So we're nice and close, so that's going to make this a great property to really connect to the work center at the other end of the project where all the new high tech is going. And then in this area here, oh, so we have bike parking here, and bike parking there. So we've provided ample parking at each building. The mailbox area is in this common office area. So it's combined here and attached to the building. So they're nice and set in, so we don't have these weird things floating out in the landscape. We've added benches around the site for people to sit. And relax. We've created this, worked back and forth with Murray Dunkard's office to create this nice entry trellis here that's going to connect the gym and the office and the rental area to the pool area and really create a nice sense of entry to the project here. We've added a nice picnic area with three tables and some barbecues and a gravel strip area. And the shade sails, which is similar to what we have over in the main pool area, the kids area. And then we've brought in, you know, in response to the water concerns with turf, we are proposing artificial turf in this area and in the little pool area. And this is an artificial turf that is manufactured in the United States, lead-free, so all of that concern. It is made with a technology that keeps it cooler. So we feel that this is a nice connection there and added a bench here so we can have some play area. And then I think the biggest change has been that we really got into design with the pool and really tried to create a nice amenity at the request of our client. They really want this to be a wonderful livable community. And so we've created sort of this outdoor lounge area as you enter with a built-in fire pit and benches. And that's illustrated in, where are we? Thank you, Murray. Right here. So we'd have sort of a raised concrete with a gas that they can regulate. Fire pit in that area, some nice site furnishings, and a paver, a nice, clean, contemporary paver to kind of define this area, and that's seen in this illustration here. And this nice, I'll call it a lawn area. People can drop their towels and relax. Some nice strip planters with ornamental grasses in there, about two foot tall, to create a little separation, create some nice rooms and some hangout spaces. And this is all oriented to take advantage of the spectacular views of the sunset on the mountains. And, you know, especially since the fire, we can see all the rocks. It's been pretty nice lately. We've oriented, changed the pool up a little bit, and we've added a spa here and these nice pool cabanas, and then one of the these sort of shade cabanas. And then one of the big changes is to remove the wrought iron fence around the pool and going with a plexiglass, a very clear plexiglass. And we've changed the landscape around the edge to be more ornamental grasses and succulents. So it's really going to have this nice, you'll feel like you're in the landscape in the pool deck area, and you'll have that emotion and feeling of the grasses, and then the color and the punctuation and the interest of the succulents and low maintenance and water-wise. Let's see here. I think as far as changes that we've made along the road here, we did remove a few of the jacaranda trees we had here due to maintenance issues with the pool. And so we have all now geysers along here, but we've maintained the punctuation of the jacarandas that's consistent throughout the rest of the project. And then we have added some monumentation locations. We're proposing one here, and then we're proposing another one here, and something similar to this in size and scale. And we'll be coming back with that to the sign committee, but I just wanted to show those locations. We worked back and forth with Rob to locate the utilities in some locations where we could get some nice screening around them. So we have everything sort of grouped together and screened. So that's taken care of. I think that covers about what we're looking at. Since we made these changes, we did want to run this by you. And so I have some, as far as the details go, there's just pictures of some of these products in the details. I do have manufacturer detail on the fence. But we're hoping that if we can get approval today, that we could have that condition that we'll update, you know, we'll resubmit and update the proper construction details for some of these items that we've changed.
Anybody else?
Go ahead.
Oh, I just remembered I had one more thing. With the changes we've made to the landscape, love going blind, we are now down to... 97.6% drought tolerant landscaping. So we've really dropped that number about as low as you can go. And then I brought the full wool calcs to show that we are well below what the state, even with the new water requirements from the revised AB 1881, that we're well below what our allotted water would be. So we've really hit those numbers.
I just want to add on to it that we had to do an updated photometric study, and that after the project was approved, obviously we have new LED lighting systems. So the light fixture you see now is a dark sky approved dark LED light, and the photometric study is in the set of drawings as well for review.
That reminded me of one question that I had, and that was when I was looking at the lighting packet, there was the lighting for the carport is like a wall pack slash could be downlight. I'm assuming that it's mounted to the ceiling inside the carport?
Correct.
Is that right? Okay.
Right. It's a wall ceiling mount.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it would have to be on the ceiling. Okay.
Well, I guess it's time to come up with a motion. Anybody like to give
the chair comments?
Yeah, we've got questions.
Oh, okay, sorry.
This is a question in regards to the additional parking spaces that are attributable to the People's Self-Help Project. Are those located in proximity to their project, or are those just extra spaces that are available within this site?
Are you talking between the shared parking? Their parking is within right in front of their lot itself. So right where she's pointing, not all those.
Somewhere in there, 14.
There's 14 of them. They start from here, only because of it's these guys.
And they're designated as such.
They're designated for that.
All right, thank you. All right.
Any other questions?
Yes, Chair.
Yes.
Is there any gray water system planned?
No.
There's none available, right?
No. Gray water.
Oh, gray water. Yeah.
You're producing thousands of gallons, tens of thousands probably a day. So it seems like for all the angst about getting into the reclaimed water system, you effectively have your own supply that's going untapped. The carports, I've got to say, look pretty bland without solar voltaics on top. With the, over by the pool, the cabana, I saw the water heater just there. I presume that's to serve the wash basins in the male and female. That's not to heat the pool.
No. The solar is on building 100X. It's on the roof of 100X.
Let's see. Then I had one question as to why there's one parking spot designated per apartment. Why aren't the EV stations there so everybody's got a guaranteed shot at them?
I think it's mainly we're conditioned for 25% of our rooms or 25% of our parking to be.
Yeah, that's the minimum standard.
It's just expensive. I mean, we've added a lot of amenities, and so that's just continued added cost. We own 30,000 apartments, so we kind of gauge how many of them get used. So what our leasing folks will do is, it's unlikely that 25% of our residents will require them, but we'll do our best to match them up with those people.
Well, 25% in the next decade, maybe, but we're going to be sitting here with this long after I'm dead and my children have taken over, and it's not going to be that way in 80 years.
Yeah, so what we do is we have a kind of a demand-driven approach, and so on all of our projects, we continually do the value-add thing. So as we get more and more demand, then we just add.
No, and I understand that. So at your other properties, you know, what's that look like? Has anybody hit the 25% and added on?
None that I know of.
And I think my last point is about what is the internet access for this? We're less than a mile from where America invented the internet. So what's the plan?
Yeah, so we're pretty, I don't know if you guys have all the specs, but we try and stay completely cutting edge with all of our tech.
Okay, because I didn't see anything besides cable.
Yeah, we've got, I mean, the normal Wi-Fi, but we go beyond that. I was on one conference call with our tech groups, we brought in a special consultant that's all they focus on, and everything from the gyms to the other common areas and the units themselves. So I can't keep...
Are going to have a Wi-Fi access for communal use, you mean, in those communal areas?
That's my understanding. Were any of you guys in on that call? I don't think
I was
you were.
Not.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
So I can't give you the details right now, but yeah, that's kind of big for us.
Right. Okay, that's great. But fed by what, I guess, is my question. An internet to a dial-up, Wi-Fi to a dial-up is nothing to talk about. So Wi-Fi to what? I don't know exactly how far you are from the node, the closest node, but having LX single mode fiber or something that can give you some reach?
Yeah, all I know is our core units are in 100X. That's where our hub and everything is. And we've got... I mean, I'm not going to say we're the absolute cutting edge of everybody in the area, but I'll say we're at the very least current. So we like to...
All right. It's just I see the FCC talking about eliminating cable as even qualifying as high speed. So that's coming. Is it 6 months? Is it 6 years? I don't know, but it's sure coming. And again, we've got to look to the long term. The solution for traffic and everything else in future is going to be simply the fact that we're not driving to work, many of us. We're doing that from home. And these apartment complexes are, it's not going to be the multimillionaire buying them or renting out of them, obviously. It's going to be a more middle-income sort of family and what do their kids do without the latest cutting-edge stuff. They're going to be much more likely to come up with the next Citrix Online sort of $50 million idea with an actual access point we can be proud of as a community. So that's what I'd like to see some answers on.
Yeah, I mean, it's beyond my bandwidth to be able to give you any of the technical specs, but I will say across the board, like our finishes that we've done on the inside, we're looking at this long-term. We're putting, you know, stone, like granite finishes, hardwood floors. I mean, we're doing it pretty nice. The owner of our company lives local in Conocito, so he loves this project, and he's putting a ton into it. We're over budget by something like $1 million just from all the upgrades we've added. So I can assure you it'll be nice, but I can't give you the specs.
Okay, and I appreciate, you know, with investment has to come a profit. So that's not begrudged at all. It's just some of these things are pretty easy to do before the shovel goes in the dirt and a whole lot more expensive to do after the walls are in and have been there for 40 years. So if, you know, no time like the present to get those, you know, from conduit to all sorts of issues that support this. Without them, it's a whole lot of trouble, a whole lot of expense in the future. With some forward thinking at the beginning, you can really preempt some of that pain.
Aaron, may I add also just that I had our sustainability coordinator, the city's sustainability coordinator, take a look at this project as well, and she had mentioned that with our 25% requirement of the EV charging stations, that that's well over our green building code and our and just so that
oh,
this,
yeah, no,
this
it's
project
that
is
you've exceeded the minimum standard,
right?
Yeah.
by quite a bit. So yeah. just wanted to mention that,
yeah,
too.
No,
thank you.
Absolutely.
Any other comments from folks here?
Now that you drew my attention to it, Kim, I am to the point of salivation over covered bike parking. what is the ratio of bike spaces to the number of units in each building?
One space per every two units, and they can park fancy bikes inside.
Exactly what I was thinking. On the location of them, I think you got it just right on building number 100, and by this I mean one is cycling up on the circulation corridors, the vehicular circulation corridors. You hop the sidewalk, park your bike, and walk indoors. That works really well on building 100. Less so on building 200, and then even more remotely on building 300. So I would encourage you to look at the location of these bike parking spaces as the user comes in on the road, parks, and then gets into their front door. See what I mean about 100X? It's kind of up in a corner, and there really even aren't any sidewalk connections to it. You'd have to either come between cars or cycle down the walkway to get to it. Right? And then it does, even though they are covered, salivation aside, it does seem that the covers for both the bikes and the carports work against the design of the bungalow. I think these are going to be especially prominent coming south on Los Carneros Road. You're just going to see this huge bank of these carports out there, and I think that really works against your design. I don't know how you really design a colonial bungalow beachside carport, but it does occur to me that your trash enclosures are very lovingly designed with the walls and the arbors over them, and I would encourage you to extend that design care to, at a minimum, the bike coverings, and if you can, to the carport coverings. I also think it might be worth your consideration for some lighting in the bike sheds, as you've provided with the carport sheds.
So, at this point, do we have anyone who wants to make a motion?
I motion to continue to February 23rd to see a gray water plan and get some technical details that were asked for today.
Do we really need to have a gray water plan?
Okay. We're not required for
no
gray water.
No.
And I think I don't think we're required for one request I would have. We're trying to get submitted in for building permits, but I respect your request. What we'd like to be able to do is provide any further details on some of the more minor stuff, if we would agree that they're more minor, you know, separately through staff.
By consensus, or by staff?
Yeah, that'd be by staff, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And sorry, just another point of clarification. This is one of those hybrid projects where the project already received preliminary approval under mm-hmm. the old system, so yeah. we've already adopted the findings, and yeah. and also the appeal period has run. Just
okay.
Thank you.
I want to make, I didn't get a chance to make a couple of comments. I just want to say I think it's a great addition to do the walkway through the along Los Caneros with the benches and so on. I think that's a huge benefit. I think that the treatment of the pool screen is excellent. I think it just couldn't be better in terms of that modern look, but yet not industrial. You're going to see the plants. Quick question is the pool coping, is it all pavers, modular pavers that I'm seeing, or
we're looking at color concrete.
Color concrete.
Boom finish, so
and
very
then the
simple.
The pavers would be extend out toward the call the patio area?
Yeah, so kind of more the lounge area. Okay. So it simulates a hardwood floor.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Those are my comments.
Okay.
Questions.
I think it's nice.
Yeah.
I think it's nice. I'll try for a motion.
All right.
I will move for design approval with the condition that the applicant entertain the possibility of gray water in some fashion with either the pool cabana or any of the three buildings, and that the applicant study if it's possible to do something with the carport and or bike racks to tie into the style architecturally for with what is it staff conformance review.
I'll second.
Can I just add a comment under discussion? If you were considering making gray water a possibility, it would possibly look like sleeving for, you know, the laundry to landscape doesn't currently require approval. Now, it all depends on the volume, and that would probably be something that you guys would have your hands on the numbers, but it would potentially look like sleeving for laundry to landscape application, and then potential future, you know, it would just be the sleeving so that was in place. That would be nice to see, because I agree that it's a unused infrastructure, and even just the sleeving is obviously an expense, but it's not a massive expense. It doesn't require a huge volume of you know, the piping is pretty minimal, so I'd like to see you guys at least study that.
And I'd also like to mention, for me, what was important is the treatment of the carports, because they will kind of be vast in their view as you come off of Los Caneros there. That's the thing with conformance review. We hope that you can do something with that, but we really don't have any expectation that will actually happen.
Well, when we gave this, when we went through the approval process earlier, there were carports there. And so, you know, we had approved. I don't know if they were the same design as these ones, but, you know, I'm reluctant to see us try and drag this thing back into all kinds of changes, seeing as we've seen this a lot and have given it, you know, its approval. And what they've come back for is basically a list of changes where they had to vary from this. I like the project. I like it as it is, frankly. I understand the problems with the expanse of carports, but again, I'm not even going to begin to imagine how that could be addressed. I think it's something that is what it is.
That's why I just said study it. And
yeah. Okay. All right. I'm just reluctant to try and there's a tendency to try and pull this back into a whole review thing again. And then that's
well, my motion was for design approval.
I'm sorry, yeah, you're right. Okay. Well, I can support that.
So I guess we have a vote?
All right, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. One abstention or one opposed and the rest aye, and we're done.
Thank you. Thank you.
Staff, how do we work the conformance review part of this? The chair appoints somebody, how does that work?
What staff will do, excuse me, can we, the meeting is still going, so can you guys go Leaveville? Talk in the hallway, please?
Yeah.
Kathy, we're discussing some items. So what we would do is take your comments.
Yeah.
And this is a large enough project where we will ask the chair,
all right.
Or the chair can designate an architect.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that is Carl coming back out? Okay, so that puts us down to announcements by members, item H. Does anybody have an announcement? If not, I hereby adjourn. Thank you.